It started as a joke.
Thousands of comments, thousands of shares.
That turned into a viral sensation.
Everybody was just demanding that it was gonna be a real thing.
And then,
I bet you we could do that.
A Wisconsin-based restaurant chain,
for one day only,
made it real.
Guests went nuts.
This week on Open Record, the unlikely marketing and development story.
Oh yeah.
Of the Kerner Burger. From the Fox 6 Studios, this is Open Record. I'm your host, Brian Polson, and I'm joined by Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
And we are joined by Fox 6 anchor and reporter, once again, Ben Handelman. Hey, Ben, welcome back to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
And Happy New Year, if it's okay to say. Can I say Happy New Year on, well, this is being released on January 4th, right?
No, it's too late.
Why do you think that's, I feel like it's the episode back, we should say Happy New Year.
I know I'm probably in the minority, but I'm just, I don't know. I don't like that filler conversation stuff. I don't, unless it's New Year's Day. That's fine.
You know, that's 95% of the conversation.
That's true.
Conversation stuff.
You're on a podcast.
How about that Packers?
It's all filler conversation.
You're not wrong. That's fine. Happy New Year, everybody.
We are recording this episode full of filler conversation on Wednesday, January 3rd.
Stay tuned.
For release on Thursday, January 4th. And while it's not uncommon for us to talk about food after we go off the record, this week we're actually going to talk about one of the most...
That's great.
Yeah. I think it's one of the most Wisconsin menu items maybe ever. It's the story of a giant ball of deep fried cheese piled on top of a juicy hamburger. I mean, it literally is what it is. But it's the remarkable way it happened. Ben, how did you find yourself researching the Culver's Kerner Burger?
It's funny because the Kerner Burger was born out of a viral moment. And my interest in the story was born out of an online viral moment.
A different one?
A different one. Okay, well, it also is all connected. So I go on the TikTok. That's the oldest way.
Capital T.
You know, it's a great place where a lot of people who don't do traditional, like ingest traditional local news are on TikTok and still really like local news stuff. Yeah. I post stuff on TikTok.
You're great at TikTok. I'm not just saying that because you're here, but...
I actually now know of you not as Fox 6's Ben Handelman, but just as an anchor in Milwaukee, a news anchor in Milwaukee.
If you're
a news anchor in Milwaukee.
If you're on TikTok, check out the account. Yeah, I usually try and post a news story a day. That's my goal. And one day we had a really slow news day. And I didn't know. Usually I try and do something that's visual or, you know, works for TikTok, and I didn't have anything. And it just so happened there was a PR press release in my inbox that said, the Kerner Burger is coming back from Culver's. And I thought, I guess I'll throw that up on TikTok and just say, hey, the Kerner Burger is back.
It's back. The Kerner Burger returning to Culver's on October 2nd. This will be the third time it'll be on the menu. Oh, yeah.
If you're not one of the 26 states with a Culver's or it's not in your area, I'm sorry for you.
More than a million views
on TikTok.
And in my head, it was just as simple as, hey, the Kerner Burger is coming back for the third time. And I thought, I got to tell the origin story of the Kerner Burger because it's very interesting.
You wanted cheap clicks. You wanted free.
I'll check it out.
The interest is there, right? Mm-hmm. And when I myself dove into the origin story of the Kerner Burger, even I did not realize how bonkers it was.
So I'm going to tell you all who are listening right now something we're going to be doing this week, which is we're going to be taking some breaks that really aren't going to go anywhere. We're going to come right back if you're listening to this, and maybe even if you're watching this on Fox Local. Starting next week, the podcast is also going to be broadcast on Fox 6. It's 11:05, I think, on Sunday nights after the Blitz. So we have to sort of practice taking commercial breaks, so we're going to do that today. When we come back, I want to hear, Ben, how this all began, what you learned about the Kerner Burger. We're going to do that when we come right back. Okay, back on Open Record. Ben, you were fascinated by the million views you got on your TikTok about the Kerner Burger coming back. But then you went to find out where this all started. What did you find out?
So my goal, I wanted to talk to whoever it was that thought of the Kerner Burger and created it. Yeah. So for those who don't know, the Kerner Burger was a limited, and is a limited menu item that Culver's decided to roll out that started as an April Fool's joke.
A joke.
Yeah, okay.
It literally, in 2019 is when Culver's, they're not Wendy's. They admit that to me. They're not trashing people on social media.
Is that what Wendy's does?
Well, yeah, have you seen Wendy's? I guess I'm not as attuned to this. They kind of poke back and forth with like Burger King. And okay, like they'll kind of like troll each other. Right.
Okay.
And sometimes customers. Wendy's, I think, is the most egregious, wild. So if the two ends of the spectrum, Wendy's is kind of known as like ruffling some feathers.
Okay.
Culver's sticks to their marketing message, you know, the wholesome, we're the nice Wisconsinites, and they don't really fray too far. But in 2019, for the first time, their marketing team decided, well, let's do an April Fool's joke to make some buzz. And they came up with this concept, the first April Fool's joke they did, which they were going to put a fake concept on Twitter, now known as the X, it was Twitter at the time, and they'd put a picture and it'd be an item that wasn't a real item. And they came up with the vanilla custard crunch, which was...
Doesn't sound bad.
It was a fake flavor of the day for their frozen custard, where it was frozen cheese curds.
Frozen cheese curds in the ice cream.
Hence the crunch.
All right. Oh, that's the crunch.
But frozen.
I don't think of cheese curds. Oh, frozen maybe. Yeah. I don't think of them as crunchy necessarily.
It did okay. Anyway, you know, they got some laughs. They got some clicks. And the thing about the concept was, if you actually wanted to go into a Culver's and order it, you want to order a side of cheese curds and throw it in your frozen custard. Yeah. Be our guest. Go do it. Okay.
So you can have that as your topping instead of like Snickers. Or
right. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
2020 happens. There's a pandemic. They don't do an April Fool's joke that year. 2021. They're like, hey, let's do an April Fool's joke again. And they come up with, they tell me in the week leading. So this was kind of a last minute. Hey, let's throw some ideas out. What do you guys want to do for an April Fool's joke? Yeah. Someone, and they cannot remember who specifically, and it's not like they have a huge marketing team at, I mean, they
no one wants to take credit, or they're being too humble, or
I don't know. I mean, I went out to the Culver's headquarters in Prairie du Sac, and talked to the marketing team, and they're like, I don't remember who exactly came up with the idea. It really was last minute, and we came up with the Curder Burger. And the picture they posted on social media is hysterical. Just picture the giant, this massive cheese curd that, I mean, you can't even fit it in your mouth, just in between two buns.
Yeah.
So originally there was no burger.
It was just a giant cheese curd burger. And something magical happened for the marketing team that had never happened before. It caught fire. We're talking, people were begging Culver's to make this thing. They started getting calls and letters, actual handwritten letters, please make the Curder Burger. And there was even an online petition that someone created. Please make the Curder Burger.
See, when you first say even Curder Burger, my first thought was you just pile some cheese curds onto a burger.
Yeah, which I've seen done in other
places. We've seen onion strings or onion straws on burgers. It didn't seem as outlandish. But then you see that photo of this giant...
It's a patty.
A patty of just fried cheese. Yeah.
Right. And they did want to go back to their original joke, like, hey, you want to come in our restaurant and order a side of cheese curds and throw it on top of our butter burger? Go ahead and do it. But the picture is what people were yearning for.
They wanted the giant cheese curd. Didn't exist at the time.
No.
Like, it existed on the other mind and on social media.
Did not exist. So, fast forward, it took 6 weeks for their director of menu development, the guy who creates all of the new things at Culver's. They had a marketing meeting and they're sitting there, and I'm sure this is a routine thing that they do at Culver's. So 6 weeks goes by after the viral moment. Obviously all madness breaks out for the marketing team, but the guy who sits in the kitchen, he's kind of a little unaware of how crazy it had gotten it for the company. They sit in this marketing meeting. They talk about the Curder Burger, how it's broken all of their records for social engagement ever for the company's history. And the guy who makes everything at Culver's that's new doesn't say anything to anybody and goes down to the test kitchen and goes, I'm going to try and make that.
So this wasn't like was told, he just decides, I'm going to give this a shot.
No one at Culver's ever intended for the Curder Burger to be a real thing. Even after the joke went viral, no one from the company said, wow, this is so crazy. We actually have to make
it.
It was one guy and his team in the test kitchen that went back in there and said, I'm going to try and make a Curter burger.
Didn't you talk to a food scientist or someone too that said like 6 weeks? While it sounds like that's such a long time from the original tweet, it's not.
Well, it was 6 weeks till he found out about it. Then he makes a couple prototypes, mm-hmm. and then he goes to senior management. I don't know if that's Craig Culver. I don't know what the senior management is over at Culver's, but I'm sure he's part of it. Yeah. And goes, oh, hey, by the way, guys, I made a Curter burger. And they're like, we're doing it. We are putting this on the menu.
But I want to step back, though. You said he's testing prototypes. Like, what are the different versions?
Right.
And really, what are the different prototypes? Because it seems to me, and I'm not a chef, but it seems to me you go, well, all right, let's throw some cheese curds on a burger. And try. What was he trying out?
I learned so much about the fast food industry, and that's kind of what Sarah was alluding to a little bit. And when I talked to a food scientist, you know, making something in a kitchen, easy peasy, right? Anyone can make something in a kitchen. Make something in a kitchen that Culver's now has over 900 locations in 26 different states.
You've got to repeat
states. It's got to be mass produced.
It's not only you making it in the kitchen. It's the producers who makes the cheese curds. It's the breading company. That might be a whole different process. And it all has to work in the Culver's ecosystem.
Right.
So their kitchen is specifically designed that they can make things in a short amount of time. Right. You don't want to make something where you'd be, you know, running chefs all around. It's got to work in their ecosystem. So I don't know what the different prototypes exactly look like. The chef did tell me, okay, we had to work on color for the cheese curd burger.
The giant.
Yeah, okay. We wanted it to look like our other cheese curds. So, I mean, they're thinking about how it looks. Obviously, they wanted it to taste good. Mm-hmm. I don't think the flavor profile was that difficult because they make cheese curds.
Right.
You know?
And they added the burger to it, though. Like, they changed it from what the picture looked like. Right. They ended up putting it on top of the butter burger, which
they already have. I think that was probably easy for them. I think the hardest part was making a giant cheese patty with breading.
Yeah.
Like, when you think...
Well, I almost wonder, too, because without the burger... It ends up being almost all cheese, and less, because the breading is just around the outside with a cheese curd. There's a little cheese surrounded by a lot of breading.
Yeah,
I asked them why does it look different than the picture? Yeah. And the chef admitted to me, you would not want to eat a cheese curd that big. Your stomach would.
I would.
And you're probably not alone, Kale, because I think the people who originally called for it were like, put it on there. I want to see it happen, but. It does just seem like that concept was a giant blob of cheese.
Yeah. And the craziest part of this story is not the fact that they created this. It's to the point where he finally went to the bosses and said, yes, I made this. And they said, we want this on the menu. They then said, we want this in the menu for National Cheese Curd Day in less than 3 months.
Okay. So now it's a turnaround time.
now it's a turnaround time, which... I've learned in the fast food national chain restaurant industry, 3 months is bonkers. Mm-hmm. Usually it takes, and go to any national chain, just go down the street, you will see all sorts of new limited menu items. And these new limited menu items are supposed to get your eye mm-hmm. and get you to come in and try something new mm-hmm. And maybe get some new customers in. You know, I'm going to go eat the Big Mac, but maybe I don't really like going to McDonald's, but I'm going to go try whatever the new thing is, you know? Mm-hmm. So normally that process takes 12 to 18 months on the
rack. And this is 3 months. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to hear how they pulled this off and what you found out about this. So how the Curter Burger happened in 3 months when we come back. We are back on Open Record, and the Curter Burger goes from joke to test kitchen to now Culver's really wants to do this thing. And they say, well, we got to time it with a purpose. So National Cheese Curd Day, which I didn't know existed.
I think Culver's actually may have created National Cheese Curd Day.
That makes sense. Well, couldn't they have created it a little further out then to give themselves? I don't know.
I think they had already put in the paperwork, and I think it was already their thing. Okay. They wanted to do something big, and they're like, this will make it even bigger.
So they've got 3 months now to turn this into something that can go to 900 locations.
Yeah, and I don't know, and this is 2021 we're talking. I don't know how many locations. I think they were in the 800 range in 2021. Okay. Mm-hmm. Regardless, hundreds of locations.
Company-wide.
The problem when you create something like this, we have to get enough product that can go to all the stores. And that is usually why it takes 18 months sometimes, because you're working out the logistics of all this, right? So they really had to work with their producers and figure out this timeline. And everybody kind of got on board. They said it was just all chefs in the kitchen, I guess. So it was everybody, all hands on deck. And they created this one day only. And the reason they were only going to do the Curter Burger for one day, and the only reason it was only one day, they didn't have enough product.
Stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, but that seems like an awful lot of work to just have this out for one day.
Right.
Okay.
Obviously, it was creating so much buzz for the company. Mm-hmm. This was the kind of free commercial time you cannot buy. It was genius.
They're still getting it on a podcast on Fox News right now. Right. Yeah. Right.
So it rolls out October 15th, 2021 for one day only.
Hoo-wee.
Traffic jams at the Culver's.
Yeah.
Lines out into the street.
And there's already lines around the building at Culver's.
Right, right,
so
right.
this was like when Krispy Kremes were first coming out, right?
Gosh, yeah.
They said they opened at 10 and there were people there at like 6:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Which
6:30 in the morning, you're already wanting a giant ball of cheese.
No one does that better than people in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Lining up for things. It's just for things you know you're gonna get.
Yeah.
I always laugh at like when we give out our free like cream puffs and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
The lines.
The number of entries we get is like more than 10,000.
I gotta hold back because I'll end up saying something disparaging about cream puffs again.
Yeah.
But I think the comparison.
Yes.
I think I could see waiting 3.5 hours for the first Curter Burger.
Yeah.
But in any case, all right.
So they did it in 2021, lines out the door, sold out everything in seconds. A year later, 2022, they do it for 1 month only. And then 2023, which we just had, they did it for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's made it 3 times. What is the future of the Curter Burger? We shall see. The company didn't tell me, but it's worked for them. It's probably one of the most successful limited menu run items, definitely in Culver's history, but even of all the chains out there, it's up there.
Well, clearly they thought it sold enough in 22 to bring it back for 23. And the thing is like, I don't know, maybe that's just human nature where like, if you can't have something, you want it more. So I don't know that they, I mean, I don't know. I'm not on the Culver's marketing team, but like if they put it on the menu full time, I'm not sure
it has sustained.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they've got something they can bring back from time to time that will get people excited.
And the buzz,
I think
again.
That's their buzz, right? Yeah. I mean, McDonald's has what? The
McRib.
The McRib.
They keep bringing back.
Gosh.
And when I talk to Quinn Atkins, that's the chef over there in the test kitchen, he says that's kind of what he envisions the Curter Burger being, something that they're going to bring back from time to time that people love, but you can't get it all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that I was surprised at. So the limited menu item in 2023 was in October and it ended November 1st. They were supposed to be done. There are still a few Curter Burgers floating out there because it was until we've run out, right? It's a frozen cheese curd patty.
So wait, there's like some sitting in a like in a freezer somewhere?
Well, the night the story aired, which was December...
Mid-December.
20th, yeah. I think is when this story aired. As I was literally the night of the story, it had been written for a while. The night of the story, I'm about to go out to air and I'm like, okay, unfortunately, you've missed your opportunity to get the Curter Burger. One of our photojournalists, Hector, is sitting in the atrium and he's eating a Curter Burger. It was like seeing a ghost.
Did he know?
No. I'm like, Hector.
Do you know that it's in the rundown in 25 minutes?
Exactly. I'm like, Hector, have you seen our promos for the story we're airing tonight on the Curter Burger? And he looks at me blankly and goes, no. And I'm like, where did you get that Curter Burger?
Yeah.
And he goes, right here, Brown Deer's Culver.
Yeah.
So I ran over to the Brown Deer's Culver. I barged through the doors. I'm like, you guys have Curter Burgers? And they're like, yeah, we got like 10 left. And
you got one of the 10.
I got one of the 10 for that night.
You didn't clean them out right then and there and say, I want them all.
I'll take all 10.
After the story aired, I did go back into the Culver's, and sure enough, they're all gone. So we probably helped sell a few Curter Burgers. What's not the goal of the story? The goal was to just kind of show how bonkers.
Yeah.
Because it started as a joke, and they had no intention, even after the joke did well, of making it. But it just shows you, somebody has a good idea and
the power of social media too, because when I really was struck by it was done very well visually, because you see all of the different tweets and the likes that are just piling up and piling up, and you realize that, you know, some jokes like this fall flat. You know, you try something, it doesn't work so well, then one hits, and sometimes you don't know what it is or why it hits, but once it grabs, it just goes on its own. And this was one that just piled up. Now they've got a real product. And we talked about the McRib thing. I've never been a fan of the McRib, but I know that there are some people who just absolutely can't wait for that to come back.
I've never met that person, but they must be out there.
They must be.
I think it's Rob Haswell.
Do you want to know why?
I think he loves the McRib.
Do you want to know why I don't like them? And I got to tell you.
But you're going to tell us anyway.
And we're going to take a break.
Forever.
When we come back, I'll tell you why. This is the real reason is, and this is the my shot of warning shot to Culver's here with your when you market this. It's because the McRib always is shown in the promo pictures.
Sure.
With the bun partly off and two giant pickles on
top. And you don't like pickles.
And I don't like pickles. And now you've just ruined it for me.
When you get to the window, you say, I want a McRib. Hold the pickles.
But the image in my head is the slab
That sounds like a Brian problem.
The slab of compressed meat.
We don't even know what the meat is, and you're not concerned about that. He's only concerned about the pickle.
Yeah.
When you eat something that looks like it has ribs, but it's not ribs, that's already a problem. Not added pickles on top. I'm just not attracted to it.
But when the McRib started, I'm pretty sure social media wasn't nearly as big as it is. I mean, I bet they're thankful now that every time they bring it back, we talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Culver's. If we didn't have social media as much back in 21 or 20, whenever they were kind of starting this, it may not have been such a big deal.
Right. Here's something I'm interested in. So the Curter Burger was a big deal here in Wisconsin. Culver's is in 26 states. I don't know how well it's done.
Because we love our cheese so much, is it not as big a deal in other places?
When I talk to people, so I grew up in Connecticut, and when I talk to people about cheese curds, they hear the word curd and they kind of cringe because you think of curdled milk. They don't really know what a curd is. So I don't know if the cheese curd is as appealing until you've had it for other markets that now Culver's has expanded to.
I wonder if we can see how this episode does by location.
Right?
Outside of Wisconsin, nobody cares.
No one clicked.
So we are going to take a break. When we come back, I did prepare some stuff based on this, because this was a joke. This was an April Fool's joke that grew into a huge thing. It's not the first marketing April Fool's joke that companies have tried. We come back, we're going to talk about some of the big wins and some of the flops from April Fool's marketing jokes when we come back. We are back on Open Record. I spent a little bit of time going over some of the other famous April Fool's marketing pranks and ideas, some of the best and then some of the worst. And what's interesting is I was reading different posts that were best and worst lists. And in some cases, the same prank ended up on both the best and worst list. So I guess it depends on your interpretation, because sometimes it's just buzz is buzz, right? Even if it's maybe doesn't go so well. We're going to start with some of the best, or what were deemed some of the best. In 2013, Google released a video claiming their search engine could now search smells. And I don't know if you remember that. I think I remember that coming out. And the thing is, it wasn't selling a product, but it was kind of reminding people that we can do amazing things. Yeah. Our tech people are so good. We might even have you convinced temporarily that we could actually do this. And if it could search smells, then wouldn't you be a little self-conscious as you're using Google? Did I shower?
How many people are farting on their computer?
Because we weren't doing it on our phones, probably. 2013 is still pretty early as far as
I guess that was deemed a successful one. 2015, Asos, the ASOS, the clothing brand, I guess. Or I don't know if that's, is it clothing? Is that, they do, I think so. Anyway,
good.
They launched clip-on man buns.
I do remember that.
You do? Okay.
I do remember that.
I don't know if they actually, this is the thing, in some of these, I don't know if they actually had them.
Right, if they actually made it or if it was just a joke.
That was listed as a successful one. In 2017, Virgin Atlantic Airlines produced a video. They didn't actually make this plane, but they produced a video that demonstrated the first airplane with wings that actually flap. And they made it, it was technically produced in a way that you see the wings flap and obviously, they didn't actually make one of those. If they did, I would not fly that plane.
I'll pass.
In 2018, PayPal tweeted about its new feature that allowed customers to print money from their phones. You could actually print out your money. Who knows how many people tried that, but hopefully they didn't get any kind of trouble. That same year, 2018, Sam's Club announced its own cryptocurrency called the Bulk Coin. Just trying to get in on the whole crypto craze. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
2019, BMW claimed to have created something called Lunar Paint. I don't remember this one, but apparently they were trying to sort of capitalize on all of the hype over electric vehicles, which we've talked about here recently. And they claimed that this revolutionary lunar technology allowed the vehicle to passively charge or recharge overnight by the light of the moon. Interesting idea. Fascinating. Not true. In 2019, this is one of my favorites. Tinder, probably because I'm 5'7", maybe 5'6 and three quarters. Tinder announced a new feature called height verification.
The
so original post got 3.6 million views. That's so it was very popular. I'm guessing most of those views were women. Well, it's just a guess.
You know what?
Doesn't matter. Speaking of cheese, in 2021, Velveeta announced a skincare line.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a... That was listed as a win. I don't know if that's a win, but, you know, if it got a lot of buzz. Do you guys remember...
Skin you can eat.
A couple of years ago, McDonald's promoted a co-branded can of McDonald's Sprite.
No.
I didn't hadn't seen that before, and that was recent, so it couldn't have been that successful because I don't remember hearing about it. That was one. And then finally, on the good side, in 2022, 7-Eleven, known for big gulp drinks, the fountain drinks or whatever, they announced the Tiny Gulp, which was a 0.7-ounce fountain drink for 7 cents. And though I think the post said something about I could drink 50 of these in a whatever. Those. Now, the worst, I don't remember this, but this is a good one. 1996. So this is pre-social media. Taco Bell announced they had purchased Liberty Bell. And
just what a co-branding. I like that.
By noon, they came out and confessed to the hoax because people were flooding the Philadelphia, the National Park Service in Philadelphia.
How could you do that?
How could you dare sell? So that was listed on the worst. It was also listed on one of the best lists just because it got so much buzz.
People were talking about Taco Bell.
And immediately, I know every one of you just heard the Taco Bell.
Ding. Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
So it worked.
Oh, do you remember that little chihuahua too?
Google, on the bad side, announced in 2015 an email mic drop feature. Any of you hear about that one?
No, but it was back.
It was the minion dropping a mic, and you could put it at the end of an email, and they said that it would block all replies after that. So you could send an email to someone with the mic drop, and then you would not see their replies. Apparently, a bunch of people actually tried this, and then it caused problems because there were people taking it too seriously. Google apologized and actually said, we're going to bring back the replies that you didn't see and let you see them now. It must have actually worked.
I don't know.
I'm not clear about that. In any case, they considered that a fail. excuse me, two more. 2011, Volkswagen, V-O-L-K-S, said it was rebranding to Volkswagen, V-O-L-T-S, of America.
I remember that one. I bought that. I was like, holy crap, this is real.
And then, well, they got straight media coverage as though it was real.
Yeah.
And because of that, it actually boosted their stock price by 10%.
Whoa.
And the SEC got involved. Because this was a fake announcement. They weren't really doing this.
Ooh. But they benefited.
And it boosted their stock price so that the SEC... I mean, Volkswagen's had some issues. And then I think this has got to be the worst one of all time. Playboy in Romania, the country of Romania, ran a piece in their magazine, I guess, titled How to Beat Your Wife Without Leaving Marks on Her Body.
Yoik.
April Fool's joke that actually led to widespread demonstrations and the first ever demonstration against domestic violence in the country of Romania. Which I guess in a way maybe was a good thing that people started having demonstrations against domestic violence.
Yikes. I don't know if this started out as a joke, but do you remember when Oscar Mayer released the face mask that looked like a slab of bologna?
Yes.
I bought that one. It was real.
This wasn't April Fool's, but speaking of Oscar Mayer, the recent rebranding to the Frankmobile instead of the Wienermobile. And they finally said...
Then they brought it back.
They brought it back because of response, overwhelming response. So anyway, that's the list of things that I came up with that were April Fool's pranks. But through all of those, there's not one that turned into a real product that's still going on. That's what I think is so remarkable about the curve.
Well, make sure you look... Culver's last year had another April Fool's joke. They made the Craig Culver bobblehead.
Yeah.
And it was another thing that I thought it was less funny because they did make a few of them. And I think they went in and was like, that's easy to make. But watch their channel on April 1st, because now they're going to do something. You know they're going to do something, whether it becomes a real item or not. I guess we'll wait and see.
All right. Well, I think that's probably a good time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go off the record. And it is time for us to go off the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun. I don't know how we can get more casual than this. By answering a question for which we have not prepared. And of course, here to ask us that question is executive producer Sarah Smith.
New year, same me. All right, here we go. Okay, we're not talking about food in the off the record, which is a shock. Okay, I know a lot of people are coming off of holiday vacations and maybe going somewhere or traveling, and which obviously required packing a bag. So let's hypothetically say your vacation is 1 month away.
I'm going somewhere in 2 weeks, so yeah, okay.
Great. When do you start packing?
This isn't going to be that big of a talker for me. It's real easy. Probably the night before. Our editor Dave, I want you to replay that for a moment. The facial expression and the judgment in that expression.
I think it's a face of bitterness because I feel like men, and my husband included, can just go ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. I need 4 shirts, 4 shorts, mm-hmm. something to sleep in, socks, undies, whatever.
Now, it depends on what you mean.
And walk out the door.
That's exactly how
it goes. It's true, but it depends because I do prepare by doing laundry earlier than that because I want to make sure the stuff I want to wear is clean.
Yeah.
So if that's part of the packing
process.
Do you
make any lists? I make lists.
For a big, so
you're a producer though.
Well, that's true. What it's like for... sunglasses, cell phone chargers.
So I do make lists now, but I never did. Okay. And that's only because of my wife.
Okay.
Because you're a married man now.
But now, normally I would pack a day before. But it depends on where you're going. Like I'm going somewhere in next week and it's warm. So I can pack all my shorts and stuff.
Yeah, but... that's true because you don't need them right now, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. I get that.
I think kids changes the game too because you want to start a little early. And then at the end you just
they're so needy too, right?
Right, like it's like 17 pairs of pants for like two days.
Here's
that's the question: how many underwear do you need for a 5-day trip?
14. Because you never know.
At least 2 per day, I think.
Do you wear 2 in any other day?
No, but here's why.
What changes it when you leave Milwaukee?
Here's why. First of all,
you never know.
Because I don't want to do laundry on my vacation. If I go for a morning run, that's 1 pair.
Okay.
I'm not wearing a sweaty pair of underwear all day. If I change out of clothes into a swimsuit and now I'm changing back into clothes, I don't put back on the ones I had earlier that day.
Oh.
So I feel like 2 a day is reasonable. Now, I'm probably not going to both work out and swim on the same day, so I don't need 3 in a given day.
I feel like that's almost something you would do.
So I feel like 2 a day, and then there's always, room for. Well,
are you a vacation workout person?
Yes.
Are you the guy who goes for?
I think I am. I tell myself on the way out, I'm going to want to
get for it, right?
I need 14 pairs of underwear.
Yes. I want to get up early and go for a run on the beach, and the reality is I wake up and I go, you know what?
Gosh, coffee sounds so much better. Yeah.
The breakfast buffet is open. Yeah. I'm going to go there first, and then we'll see how I feel
and
then I don't run. Yeah, okay. Right. So
it's a thought that counts.
But the reason why, and for anyone who's packed early, for early packers, I think here's the reason why I don't, is every day before you have to leave that you go, the amount of things the amount of decisions you have to make that you go, well, I can't pack that yet because I'm going to need that.
And then you add it to your list.
Yes, but I feel like if you wait until the night before, you can pack everything.
You can pack it, right.
You can just do it
right now.
Especially
if you're packing 14 pair of underwear, you definitely can't do it early.
That's
you
true.
You have no undies.
That's a good point.
I know.
That's a very good point. So I like to wait. Now, even the night before, I'm frustrated because I know I'm still going to need my toothbrush and my whatever and the charging cords and whatever. If I get up if I have a later flight and I could get up the morning of.
Nothing but time.
I can throw in the toothbrush, all the toiletries, all the other sorts of things because I'm not going to need them again that day. Now my packing is efficient and effective, and I can do it the same day.
I've got a drawer full of toothbrushes, so I can just throw one in.
A drawer full?
Every time I go to the dentist, here's a toothbrush and a mini thing of
toothbrush. Oh, so you just bring it?
Yeah.
What do you do then after that? So
throw
do you
it
have
away?
A The environment thanks you, Kale.
I throw it away in the toothbrush recycling bin. Duh. Yeah,
no, stop. That's
Do you have multiple shavers and other because that's for me. I have a razor that I use. Well, I can't pack that and if I'm gonna use it or
I have travel razors that I take along.
No, I never
put them in the travel razor recycling bin.
Yeah.
Grow the beard out.
That's fair.
Oh, okay. The week off of shaving, you're saying.
Yeah, it's vacation first, right? Including my face.
Right.
That's true.
Your face thanks you. And it's good, right? You don't rip your face up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have, you talk about the travel, razor and the other, do you have things that are just travel only?
Yes.
Do you have, okay, you do.
Yeah, I have several bags of.
Do Do you have
toiletry travel
things? Do you have clothes that are travel only or not necessarily?
No, you never answered how long in advance you pack. Oh,
I mean, I start making my list weeks out. And then I start pulling the kids' clothes because I will tell you, God bless them, my husband doesn't pack the kids. So, I mean, and I don't know that I would trust him because I have issues.
giving up control is not easy.
I'm a control freak. Yeah. So, and if I know they have it, then I know they have it. And if they don't, then it's just my own fault. But yeah, I would say 2 weeks out are like lists. And then I start pulling. And then,
it's a process.
It is a process. Yeah. But you know what? At the end of the day, we get on that plane or we get in that car and I'm like, God, I know we have everything because I have
For reference, I have a friend who packs probably a month out. And the friends we're traveling with, it was December 26th and she was already packed for our January 11th
trip. Wow. That's a lot.
I mean, I can see if it's a big trip you're really excited about, sometimes packing is part of the excitement about I'm getting prepared.
Yeah, that's
thinking
true.
About
like,
I'm getting ready.
If I start writing notes now, then it's going to be closer and I don't have to like work and do school.
Do you feel? I just wonder how this feels to you. This is a feeling question. If you get onto a trip and you go, well, we forgot that thing, but I can just run to Walmart. There's a Walmart
everywhere.
Dude,
Eric says that to me every trip. He goes, we're not going into a deserted island. We are going to a place that has civilization and Walmarts and pharmacies and whatever else we need. So he reassures me that if you forget something, we can just buy it. And there was
a
Florida
trip. Does that feel bad? If you got there and you didn't have it, do you feel like you dropped the ball?
I feel like... I have transformed and changed my mindset of like, yes, we can buy something. It's fine. Because like there was a Florida trip where Eric just didn't pack socks. Just didn't. And I didn't check in with him because he's a grown man.
My brother showed up to Breckenridge, Colorado without a winter coat.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's aggressive.
See, that's like, not only is that aggressive. See, there are things that you know you can get affordably. Like I forgot sunscreen. There's probably a CVS. I can get sunscreen.
Right.
A winter coat in Breckenridge, you're going to be paying for that.
He did. He paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, it was
and now
October.
He wears it everywhere.
It was October. It wasn't the middle of winter, but it was snowing in Breckenridge,
Colorado.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
He spent a few hundred.
I mean, there's not much in Breckenridge, Colorado that's not expensive. when I was growing up, I used to go skiing. My father and brother and I used to go out west. So I've been to Breckenridge and Vail and then Utah and places like that. And it used to be like a lift ticket was $70 for a day.
Now it's like
$200 for a day. Yeah. For what? I just can't. I mean, it's so I can only imagine what a winter coat costs in Breckenridge. Yeah.
There is a crepe place in
crepe.
In Breckenridge. That's all I've ever done in Breckenridge was eat this crepe. And it was like the best one I had ever had in my entire life. That's what I'm saying.
I've had my crepe.
$14 later. God, it was so good though. Didn't ski a lick, but
you've traveled because you have a little one. So you and Ashley have traveled. Do you do the packing? Does she do the packing? Who packs for Amelia?
Ashley does most of the packing. Yeah. Same thing. I think she wants to make sure everything's there.
Well, and it's like snacks and activities and especially like, a car ride or a plane ride where it's like you have to have things. And she and Amelia's at that age still where she kind of needs
just for Christmas
something to keep her occupied.
I went to Indiana and I pulled out all the stuff. I started packing for her and Ashley's like, no. We're not bringing in these chamois dresses.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't be probably. I mean, I did have to pack many trips for my kids, but my kids have never been. I mean, probably because of me, they've never been real fashionistas exactly. So the stuff, you wear it, it fits you. There it goes.
Yeah,
and we're good to go on that sort of thing. So, you know, I've gotten to more than one vacation though where they had swimsuits from the year before that didn't fit, and you're suddenly there. You're buying.
Oh, that's the other thing is like, especially if you're going on going to Florida in say January. So. You have to retry on all the stuff on the kids because does it fit? Who actually knows? And then now my daughter has opinions about clothes. So I can't just pull stuff and say, here it is. She needs to look at it and approve the shirts pile and the shorts pile. It's so good. It's so good.
It's so fun.
Have any of you done long distance trips by car? Like, because, you know, you're going to drive to the Dells. You're going to drive to nearby places. Yeah. Most of us would fly to Florida or wherever else. But have you done you know, we're going to drive six states away.
Yeah, I'm not a car.
Not for vacation. The longest I've driven was when we went storm chasing for work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've driven to Pittsburgh before, but it's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I made the cross-country, like, to Connecticut once.
I bring it up because I grew up, we used to drive from St. Louis to Florida. And it, actually, the journey was really part of the fun. It was part of the reason the movie Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation, has always been one of my favorite movies. I love Chevy Chase. I love comedy. But it kind of hit home because that idea of getting there being half the fun was part of it. You know, it was we rode in the back of the car back in the days when safety maybe wasn't as much of a concern. In what we called the Wayback Machine of the family truckster. It was a wood paneled station wagon.
Right.
And my brother and I had pillows and we laid in the Wayback and we, you know, had puzzles and other things. You didn't have the electronics we have now.
Oh, couldn't watch movies. No.
So, you know, you really got to know. You spent a lot of time watching what was going on in the road outside of you. And I remember my parents had a CB radio.
Oh,
so my mom used to communicate with the truckers on the road, find out where the Smokies were up ahead and all that sort of thing. So
we had
that's fun.
We would drive to Ohio. I have family in Ohio and we had a CB. And so we had this giant, you know, the antenna coming out that magnet, you know, whatever. And at one point there were truckers that we could hear and they were talking. And then it got a little naughty. Mom and dad immediately shut it off. And I was like, oh, we're not using that anymore, I don't think. So that was kind of the end of the CB. But
CB radio, Citizens Band. Every time those watching,
I don't know. I just always think of that creepy movie where it's like candy cane. What's that movie with the kill? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Do you
know? They're the trucker. They're on the CB radio with him and they're messing with the trucker. He turns out to be a murderer.
What?
Trucker guy. The whole movie is about the trucker chasing him down.
Somebody who's watching this knows. I don't know.
Wow. I don't either, but I didn't have to Google that.
All right. Okay. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and look ahead to next week when we come back. Okay, we are back, and while we were away, Sarah was doing some Googling.
Went to the Google box. Answer.
What's this trucker movie?
Joyride.
Joyride.
I think there was a Joyride 2, even.
Because 2001.
It was so good, we couldn't get enough.
Well, it did have. It was called Joyride 2, Dead Ahead. But Steve Zahn, Paul Walker, Lili Sabisky, some other people that I don't know.
Star-studded cast. I don't know these people. They probably are.
Star singular, maybe. Yeah,
a bunch
maybe,
of nobodies at the time, yeah.
Well, because they're dead now, right? From the It was Candy Cane was the saying?
Well, I think they were pretending to be someone named Candy Cane to be like a love interest for it, and the trucker realized they were messing with him, and then he was a killer, murderous trucker guy.
All right, next time I'm on the couch at home, I'm looking up Joyride. I guess I've got
enough
of
that.
We got a couple minutes to go here, and Ben, we've had you on a couple of podcasts in a row now, and you're such a tremendous guest. Your stories are engaging. Your TikTok, but actually your TikTok, I've really, really enjoyed some of the stuff that you put on there. I know we've already had on our air, but then the way you package it and present it is very interesting. But you've been main anchor here for what? How long? How long have you been?
I've been at Fox 6 since 2011. I've probably been just anchoring full time for 4 or 5 years now.
Okay.
Wow.
I should know that.
What's your background? You're not from Milwaukee. What's your background?
So I grew up in Northwest Connecticut. Went to Quinnipiac University, men's national championship ice hockey team.
Quinnipiac, like a kind of Milwaukee. I know how to say it now.
Got my first job in Springfield, Illinois. Sight unseen, they hired me for like very little money. And I said, I think that's a state capital. I'll drive out there. If I hate it, I'll just go back home. Loved it. Was there a year and a half. They moved me to Champaign to be the weekend anchor. Moved up here in 2011 to be the morning anchor, weekend mornings. And I've done every shift now.
Right.
So Springfield, Champaign, Milwaukee. Were you a journalism major at Quinnipiac?
Yep, broadcast journalism. I went to the Ed McMahon School of Journalism.
What?
And you're like, Ed McMahon went to Quinnipiac? No, I don't even think he stepped foot on campus. I think he had distant relative who went there.
Oh, that's
and
so
get
funny.
Donated a bunch
I was
of money.
Say, so.
Did you get a Publisher's Clearinghouse scholarship?
Hey.
They give you balloons at graduation.
When you get a scholarship there, they present you with a giant check.
It's a giant diploma.
So I don't even know if it's still called that anymore, but it was when I graduated.
Was
so,
that laugh your Ed McMahon impersonation?
It was supposed to be. I gave up on it. It wasn't.
Fine.
I'm not good at impressions.
My school has a lot, being in Connecticut, so a lot of kids go to ESPN, New York, and that sort of thing. So,
and then that's why I wonder, because I know you're not from here. You ended up in the Midwest, but it was just because that opening in Springfield.
Just I'm probably the last person to put my resume tape on VHS tapes and send it out to people.
Oh, well, yeah, I was in that same boat.
I did it too.
I got one callback. I didn't even get rejection letters. I just got one callback from Springfield, Illinois saying, oh, we'll hire you. I'm like, don't you want to interview me? I think there was a slight interview process. And then I'll never forget the person, they had just gotten rid of their news director. So the person who hired me wasn't the news director. And before I started, they hired the new news director.
Oh.
And she called me and was asking me interview questions. I'm like, wait,
ma'am,
they've already hired me. Yeah. I've already taken the job. So She ended up liking me,
we're glad to have you here at Fox 6 and glad to have you here on Open Record. If you have a topic you would like us to discuss on Open Record or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. Ben, Sarah, thank you. And as always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, including our editor, Dave Machuda, and our chief photographer manning the video switcher, Kale Zimney. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back next week.